expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Klink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. It is 8 minutes past the hour. Lovely spring summery sort of day here. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. Twitter, at Klink, at G-L-I-N-K. I've been tweeting this morning. If you want to find out what I had for breakfast, you're going to have to go to Twitter. Online with the website thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. So let's dig in, shall we? Your job is on the line. That is the only conclusion that I can draw after this week's disastrous unemployment numbers. If you look at what happened last month with the unemployment rate, it was announced on Thursday. We saw job growth way below expectations. Just 115,000 net new jobs created in April. I guess it's better than going negative again, but if you look at how we're trending, it's the same thing that's happened the last 3 years. We've had terrific growth in January, a little bit less in February, a little bit less, but still good in March, and April, May, and June start to fall off the cliff. I don't know if we're falling off the cliff. The unemployment rate fell to 8.1%. Everybody went, oh, 8.1%. This is almost at that magic under 8% number so that the president can get reelected. Or if you're on the other side, that's at that magic 8.1 number, that is so high he'll never get reelected. The truth is, 8.1% is a terrible unemployment number, because the true unemployment number is somewhere close to 15, a little over 15%. If you're 25 and under, your unemployment rate is a lot closer to 25%. And the real reason we're even seeing 8.1% versus 10% unemployment is that 385,000 Americans left the workforce. That's all that's going on here. We are at the lowest number, the lowest percentage of work-age Americans employed since 1981, 31 years ago. 63%. Only 63% of Americans who are the age of working are actually out there working. We're still missing 6 million jobs just to get back to where we were 5 years ago. 6 million jobs. It's absolutely crazy what's going on here. There are people who have been unemployed for years, desperate to get a job. I've been in touch with a good friend of mine. She's a senior vice president level of marketing, smart as a whip, hard worker, innovative thinker. I think she's now on month maybe 13th, 14th, or 15th. We're still looking for a job. I have another friend, another high-level marketing person, unemployed for, I think, 8 months now. Lawyers who were partners, downsized out of their equity partnerships. The whole white-collar economy out. Realtors who have finally started to make a buck, many of them doing rentals, which pay just a fraction of what sales used to pay, are not really as stable as it seems. It's so interesting. So men, 7.5 million men in the construction industry, and it was primarily men, took the first hit when the Great Recession started. Women in the public sector, they're getting hit now. Teacher jobs going out. Government jobs going out. We have never had a recession since World War II where it took this long to get back all the jobs that were lost. And everybody says, wow, when's the real estate recovery happening? And I think to myself, for 5 years, I've been trying to show you, jobs and real estate go hand in hand. You cannot have a resurgence in one without the other. How are you going to pay your mortgage if you don't have a job? How are you going to pay your mortgage when you're no longer earning the 3 times overtime that you were earning, and you're back to earning just your regular hourly rate at 34 hours a week? You're not even at 40 hours a week. The average right now is 34 and a half hours a week. And think of all the industries that depend on whether you buy or sell a home this year so that they can have a good year. And these are like what I call 1099 industries, right? These are small business owners who may or may not employ anybody else, but they're counting on you buying or selling a home this year in order to have some sort of revenue. Home inspectors, title companies, attorneys, mortgage lenders, real estate agents, contractors, stagers. The list goes on and on. And if you don't feel like your job is secure, you're not going to make the investment to buy a home, even if it is the best time in 50 years and probably your lifetime to buy. You're going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a huge, risky step. What if I buy that house and I close on it and the next week I'm unemployed? Now what am I going to do? And so you're probably thinking you're just going to keep renting. But what you need to do is you need to figure out whether your job is safe. If you're hourly, are your hours getting cut or are you still getting overtime? Or are you getting more overtime so that your employer doesn't have to hire any more full-time people? Is your company bringing in new business or is it just scraping by on older contracts? You've got to look and see. You got to take your head out of the sand and look around your office and see what's going on. Talk to people. Try to get a sense of what's happening. If you're a business owner, are your clients expanding for the long haul, or is this just another short spring run-up only to be followed by a devastating summer? And if that's the case, what are you doing right now to hunker down and prepare for it? I know what we're doing. You gather up your cash, you hoard it, you don't spend anything you don't need to spend right now, you preserve cash flow. You keep your people busy. You encourage them to work as hard as they possibly can. And you hope that we don't fall where Europe's already gone. Europe's already in recession. And it's not just one country. There's a whole host of countries over there that have fallen into recession. And here we are in the United States, where growth has slowed from where it was last quarter, where the number of net new jobs created is way under what expectations were. And mortgage interest rates, and we're going to talk about this next hour, have fallen to a new 50-year low. New 50-year low. That's not good news. I mean, it's great news for anybody who can refinance. Again, we'll talk about that next hour. But the idea that mortgage interest rates are reacting directly to the unemployment numbers, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign because if the economy was functioning the way it should be functioning, mortgage interest rates would go up. And you wouldn't hear me say things like, this is the lowest interest rate in 50 years. You wouldn't be hearing me say things like, gather up your cash and make sure you've got cash flow to boot and make sure that you're exactly where you want to be. Make sure you know you can sleep at night. That's not the message you'd be hearing from me. It would be an entirely different message. But I'm sitting here and I'm watching what's going on and I think to myself, there are so many ways we could fall off the cliff here. We're still on that knife's edge, and I want to believe, like you want to believe, that we've made it, that we have gotten past this whole unemployment thing, that we are starting to create real jobs in this economy. But the truth is a little bit different. The truth is that, and I hate to say it, this is the longest period of time since World War II in any recession where jobs have not come back. I mean, even the jobless recovery in 2000 did a better job than we're doing. And it did have the real estate boom to sort of pull it up. And those 7.5 million construction industry jobs were all busy working and producing and getting paid and buying houses. And yes, there was a bubble. But still, we supposedly came out of this recession in 2009. That was 3 years ago. 5 million people are still unemployed. Your friends, your neighbors, your spouse, your partner, people on your block. You know so many people who are unemployed and have been unemployed. It's one of the reasons that Atlanta continues to have one of the worst housing markets in the country. So many foreclosures, so many short sales, nothing getting processed. Why? Because people are unemployed here. You know them, I know them, and my heart breaks for them. And my heart breaks for you because you're the ones who have to pick up the pieces of your family. You have to support them. You have to get them through the week in and week out drudgery of going to file for unemployment, trying to prove that you're looking for a job, keeping their emotions supported while they do this. It is so difficult. It's so hard to keep a positive attitude when you've been unemployed for 3 years or a year and a half, and to go to every job interview as if it's your first one out the gate with all the energy and enthusiasm that you know that you can muster so that you can convince that employer that you are ready to move on with your life and take this job. And if you're at home supporting somebody like that, you know that that's just devastating. And you're probably up all night just thinking about it, wondering how you're going to make the next month's payments. I have so many friends who have been in this position. One of them actually just got a job after a year and a half. That was amazing. He said, yep, I've only just drained all of my savings, half of my 401k that took 22 years to build up. I'm just about ready to raid the kids' 529 plans. And he's lucky. He's lucky because he actually has the assets to tap into. Think your job is safe? Might not be quite as safe as you think. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Lines are wide open if you'd like to chat about this or about real estate. We also have some other news this week. Again, mortgage interest rates dropping to a new all-time low. New 50-year record. I've got some tips on how you can get the best mortgage loan for you and navigate all the other stuff that's going on. There's also something really interesting happening. The possibility of a big check coming to you from your lender just to get out of your mortgage, just to get out of your house. We'll talk about that too. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a flash on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Five minutes past the hour, a little Diana Krall for you. She's got a new album out this summer with a Brazilian theme. I've already bought some tickets to go see her this summer. You might want to as well. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are open if you are interested in joining this conversation. We're going to talk about mortgage interest rates as well. They are at a new all-time low. So one of the things that I think is really important when you're looking for a job, and I've said this before on the show, is networking. And the hardest thing in the world to do when you're out of a job or you know you're about to be fired is to shore up your networking, because you feel like if you reach out to somebody and they say no to you, or they're, even if because they're busy and they just don't have the focus time for you, right? I always say to Sam, I don't have the RAM, right? If you are in such a fragile state and you're worried about losing a job or you've just lost a job, every single door that closes feels like a slam. It feels like somebody's just sort of giving you a huge wallop to the face. And you feel sick to your stomach over it. And so it gets magnified. This is the hardest part. If you're at home with somebody who's looking for a job, you know this to be true. They are magnifying and distorting all of the relationships that they have. And yet those relationships, that network, is going to be how you find your next job. That's how it goes. You can answer ads. I've put out ads. I've gotten 300 resumes from ads. As an employer, it's a nightmare to go through 300 resumes, of which 98% are completely out of the park. They have nothing to do with anything. And you search and you sift and you're looking for what's there. How do we find our best people in my office? Networks. We tap into our networks and we say, who do you know who we could bring in? You have to do the reverse. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this idea of networking with your network, taking every relationship you have and milking it for every connection that they have. It's LinkedIn, but it's you. You're the LinkedIn. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB, our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are talking today about jobs and about the lackluster numbers that came through on Thursday showing that April basically was a disastrous month. I don't know any good way to put this together for you folks, but in this country, we need 125,000 new jobs, somewhere between 125,000 and 150,000 new net created jobs just to keep up with population growth every month. This past month, our net creation, job creation numbers were 115,000. That is less than what we need just to keep up with population growth. And for the 5 or 6 million people who are still out of work because of the Great Recession, we're not even touching that group yet. It could take another 6 to 8 years just to create enough jobs to get to back to where we were in 2005, 2006. It's not even close. Not even close to what we need to have the economy get moving again. When people say to me, Elise, when do you think the housing market's going to recover? I say to them, you know, it depends on job growth. It depends on how many jobs are created and how good those jobs are, because it doesn't do us any good to create a whole host of low-paying service sector jobs where people can't even afford to make a mortgage payment. That's not going to help us grow out of the recession. The kind of jobs we need are the kind of jobs that were lost at the beginning of the recession, right? 7.5 million construction jobs. Atlanta benefited so much from that. Yes, we pushed out, we developed subdivisions, many of which are sitting there with houses unsold, in foreclosure, short sales abound. It's true. We overbuilt. But we were also busy building hospitals and bridges and roads, schools. The kind of construction that we need to get back to in this country. The kind of construction that you need to start building if you're one of those people who lost those jobs. There's just no other way about it. So if you look at $4 a gallon gas, and you think about the cost of daily life, and then you look at a job that might be available for $8 an hour, you quickly do the math and realize that you could take that job, and there's no shame in taking a low-paying job. The problem is when it's not enough to meet your bills. That's the problem. And so creating low-level jobs, low-paying jobs, when you used to be a vice president of marketing somewhere, and we're making six figures, you can't get over that disparity. And so you don't take that job, even if you were offered it, and instead, you keep looking for a new job that's going to come close to what you were earning. I cannot tell you how many people I have spoken to over the past year who've gotten new jobs and come in at maybe half of what they were earning. just met a guy a couple of weeks ago when I was giving a speech, and he came up to me and he said, I want to work. I want to work, and I am working. I finally got a new full-time job. My problem is it pays $40,000 a year, and 2 years ago, my job paid $70,000 a year, and now I have to redo everything I have in my life or look for a part-time job to make up the difference. 50 years ago, households had basically one person working. And in many households, families, it was the guy went out and got a job, and the woman stayed home and raised the kids. And World War II happened, and women went to work. And now what's happened is not only did women go to work, but now women have two jobs, maybe two part-time jobs. Men have two part-time jobs. People are cobbling together lives that they can't depend on financially just to keep the bills paid. And it's been 3 years since the recession ended, and nobody feels safe. I look at people and I think, how could you possibly feel good at night? You're up all night thinking, wondering, praying that you're going to get a check that covers all of those bills. And that's the big problem with where we are with this economy. 15% of us are out of work. And those who have been out of a job have been unemployed longer than in any other recession that we've had in 50 years, 70 years, 80 years. It's getting pretty desperate. I should tell you, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Those are our numbers. Give us a call if you would like to join this conversation, or if you have a question about real estate mortgages. Happy to talk about that. Mortgage interest rates hit, because of all this stuff going on, mortgage interest rates hit another all-time low this week. And if you haven't started thinking about refinancing, I want to encourage you to do that. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. I promised you some tips on getting a job, and I wanted to bring your mind back to my friend Liz Hanlon of UltimateResumes.com. She used to be an HR executive for a very big organization for many, many years, and then she went out on her own, and she started this website, UltimateResume.com. And I think Liz gives, like, the best advice I know for people looking for a job. And, you know, I've sent so many people to her over the years for help with their resumes. And what she says is the number one issue. Your job is to be a star in whatever you do. Most people's resume, if you are looking for a job, I would bet $5 that your resume doesn't tell people what you want to do and what you can do, right? Most people don't understand what they have to do to focus their resume so that somebody like me, who's looking for a job or looking to hire somebody for a job, will be able to tell. And I know this because I've looked at, I just said this, we were looking to hire somebody in my company. We put out an ad. We got 300 resumes, of which 295 were completely useless. They were poorly done. They had typos. They were very outmoded in terms of how they looked. They weren't focused. They didn't deliver the expectation that I had that they would be able to get my job done. It was as if they just have a standard resume and they throw it out in the universe to every single job offering that looks even close. I mean, I was looking for a web editor and I got at least a dozen resumes from lawyers. Why would a lawyer think that they would make a good web editor? I was completely confused. I'm sifting, it's a whole stack of lawyer resumes that I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with. So Your resume is your calling card. Whether you're in construction, whether you're looking for a web editor job, whether you've got 21 years of experience and you're earning $500,000 a year, whatever it is that you're doing, your experience is your experience. But what you need to do is tailor that experience to the specific job you're looking for. And Liz likes to say it's a personal marketing strategy tailored for each specific job. You're applying in 4 different industries for 10 different jobs. You're going to have 10 different versions of your resume. Absolutely. You've got to create that high impact look and feel. You have to identify your career themes and accomplishments. You have to prepare for your interviews. It is so important. I have friends who say to me that if they don't get a thank you note within 24 hours, preferably a written one on real paper versus an email thank you note, they toss those clients. That's the level that you have to go to today just to get your foot in the door. It's not even any more complicated than that. But if you aren't even willing to go there, there just are so many other people who are, and you fall to the back of the line, which is going to be devastating all over again. 404-872-0750 is our number at the station. Liz's website, ultimate-resumes, with an S on it, .com, for more great details. And she also has a great blog as well. 404-872-0750. Jan joins us on the line. Hi, Jan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. What's on your mind today?
Good. I'm 60 years old, and June 2009, I got a 10-year loan on a house that I bought. It's at 4.75, and I'm trying to decide whether it's worth me refinancing it.
Why do you want to refinance right now?
Well, just to save the, you know, couple percent payment.
Are you trying to do something with that money? Are you trying to, is there something else that you're preparing for, or are you just...
No, I just want to have my house, get it paid off as soon as possible.
So, have you, I assume with a 10-year loan that you started paying 2 years ago, that you have a significant amount of equity in this house, right?
Yes.
What do you think that you will save? Have you thought about, have you looked around at the 10-year loans? Because my sister got a 10-year loan very recently for about 3%.
Yeah.
So it's significantly lower. Why now? Why are you looking, why haven't you looked over the last year and a half?
I actually have.
Okay.
I actually have and just haven't done it.
Just haven't pulled the trigger on it?
Right. And actually, I don't know at this point if I can qualify for a loan. Because, see, before when I originally got the loan, I was having an income, and I don't have an income now.
That's a real problem.
Although I do have the money in the bank to completely pay off this loan.
So why don't you just completely pay off the loan?
Well, because I'm kind of living on that money rather than touching my 401k money.
Are you, how old are you?
60.
You're 60, so you're not old enough for Social Security.
No, I retired in 2005, and I get a pension, a small pension, and that wouldn't pay my house payment.
The pension?
But I have money in savings, yes, that I,
how
that
much
I used to live off of. And
are you worried about running out of that savings?
Well, possibly.
I think, you know, you've got, are you getting health benefits from your former employer in retirement?
I get medical benefits, but I have to pay a pretty good premium.
Okay, so you're still 5 years away from being able to qualify for Medicare, which, by the way, I think will still be there for you. Good for you.
Yeah, which, hopefully.
Well, hopefully. We don't know for sure. I can't say the same for me.
Yeah, okay.
So you've got 2 years to go till you can get Social Security. With Social Security and your pension, would that be enough to make your payment?
Yeah, probably.
See, the problem that you're having, and you already know this, is you actually can't qualify for a lower loan, even though it would make it even more affordable than what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And actually, I'm somewhat surprised that even in June of 2010, a 10-year loan cost you 4.75%.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. I didn't have my paperwork with me because this is the first time I've gotten through to you in quite a while. So,
well, we're happy to have you on the show.
But I didn't know if in the meantime I might be able to get more on my money later if things start moving, you know, where I could put it into the mutual funds or stock market and maybe earn more money. But, you know, at the time, I've not been able to do that.
So if interest rates start to rise, and there are some experts out there who say that this year, one guy who actually called the full depths of the recession is saying that interest rates could skyrocket this year. I've been hearing it now for 3 years. It hasn't happened yet. If interest rates skyrocket and you're locked in at 4.75%, you're golden because all of your other money is going to actually start paying more than that and bringing it home to roost, basically.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, but the money that's in the savings is money that I had gotten from my other house. And I could have paid off the entire house, but I just didn't want to do that right at that point.
I think not paying off the house is a smart idea. The big problem for you, Jan, is that you're not going to be able to qualify. And so even though you probably could get a 10-year loan at 3% if you had income, you don't. And you could go talk to a lender about it and see what would be done and if there's anything else that they could do. My guess is they're going to say to you, your income, debt-to-income ratios just don't make the cut. And it's a problem so many borrowers and homeowners have. A smaller payment would make it so much more affordable, and they can't qualify under the new stricter guidelines to get those mortgages. 404-872-0750. Thank you so much for your call. 52 minutes past the hour. We'll be back in a flash on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink. Little Diana Krall for you this Sunday morning. 404-872-0750. As you may have heard, mortgage interest rates have hit an all-time low. Lowest interest rates in 50-plus years, 3.84% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. For anybody who's got great credit, who's got equity or money in the bank, this is an amazing opportunity. We're going to talk about refinancing all next hour, what you need to know to get off your duff and out there. We just heard from Jan. She's been watching this for 2 years, and I think she's missed her window because of personal things in her life. Let that not happen to you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Don't put your lips so close to my cheek. Don't smile or I'll be lost beyond me.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Klink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter and head on over to the Equifax Finance blog, where you can get great information about the five pillars of personal finance: credit, tax, insurance, real estate, and investing. And also take advantage of our new section, Family Finance. There is all kinds of really interesting information on family finance about things that you can do to better manage your family's finances, save money, spend a little bit smarter, all kinds of good stuff. All that at the Equifax Finance blog. So on the phone with us today, all the way from Nashville, is my good friend Andy Heller. He is a longtime real estate investor who, along with his partner Scott, has bought dozens of properties. He's a big fan of sort of buying and holding, but he also likes lease with options to buy. I'm sure we're going to hear all about that. He also is the co-founder of Realty Join, RealtyJoin.com. It is an amazing website if you are involved in the real estate industry as a broker, a plumber, a painter, a buyer, a seller, an accountant, you name it. If you do something with real estate, you want to be on this site. It's a great networking site, place for all kinds of people in the real estate industry to meet each other, share information, share business, build their business, RealtyJoin.com. Andy, welcome back to the program.
Lisa, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's really nice to have you. So I was amazed when you were in Chicago a couple of weeks ago and we sat down for breakfast, you were telling me that you have never found a better time to buy real estate than now, and you've been doing it for a couple of decades.
I've been doing it for a long time, and it gives me a real appreciation for what's happening right now in this economy and what's happening from an investor's perspective. At least this is for investors, this is a pipe dream, and it's not going to last forever. And I'm seeing deals out there that I could only dream about years ago. So this is an investment.
What kind of deals? You say you're finding deals you would have dreamed about years ago. Give me an example.
I'll do exactly that. I'll give you an example. Last property I had under contract, and the property conservatively, once I've done the rehab, would appraise in the high 160s. The acquisition cost was 92, needs about 10, and it's in a great school district in Atlanta. So this is like a 35% to 40% margin, depending on how we do the rehab. And, you know, typically, at least in a stable market, I've bought properties 15-20% margin. So this is what I mean by it's a very, very good market for investors. You can get discounts if you're buying right at levels that we won't see again in a short while.
All right, so you bought the property for $92,000. You think when you're all done with it, you can sell for $160,000. When you're all in, you're going to be just about at $102,000-$103,000. That's a big profit. That's, you know, $50,000-$60,000 if you flip it. What if you rent it out? Would you be able to make more money renting?
Yeah, well, what I do is lease with an option to buy, and it's a bit of a unique twist on this concept, and basically that involves you find somebody who wants the home, wants to stay in the neighborhood. They don't really quite want a rental because they really want some of their lease payment or rent payment to apply to something, but they're not ready to buy. They can't yet get a good loan. So we seek out people like that, Elise, and then you contract for them, give them the right to buy over a certain period of time. We like 3 years, and when they buy, there's no real estate commission. So the typical home buyer under a lease option would hopefully buy this property 2-3 years going forward and pay in the high 160s. If you did flip the property, you have to be fair. We have to assume that we have to give a discount to a quick sale buyer. You'd flip that same property for somewhere between 130 and 140. People ask me which I prefer. They're both great options. You know, one is a good option to create some quick cash for the investors who need that, and one is an option to make a little bit of more money, but it pushes the return into the future a little bit.
So let's talk a little bit about how you found this great deal, because, we've people call the show all the time. How do I find a real estate deal? Do I use an agent? Do I just call the REO company? How do you and Scott go and find these great deals?
Well, there's lots of ways to do that. So I'm not an investor who's going to say you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. There's lots of, as long as you're able to buy the property below market, everybody, honestly, it doesn't matter how you're acquiring. My favorite way to acquire is to buy bank-owned property. And for smaller banks, when I say smaller, I mean local banks and regional banks, it's possible to approach the bank right after the foreclosure sale or the auction and to make what we call a quick sale offer. Some of the larger banks, that's not really possible, Elise. So what you want to do there is work with a network of real estate agents. We call these agents REO agents. And these are agents that typically get the bank listings, so you build a relationship with these people, and such that they're the ones that you're on their short list, the investors that they will call when they have a property that they want to move fast, or they have a directive from the bank to sell some of their properties quickly.
Let me just clarify for everybody listening at home. You would find these people. How would you find an REO agent? Would you go driving around and you look for REO signs? Are you looking for, what are you looking for exactly?
No, you have to basically network, and that's something we teach. There's no real short answer to that, but what I can tell you is that they're easy to be found. What you don't do is call off these signs, because frankly, any real estate agent today will tell you they're an REO agent, just because any real estate agent who has a series of listings are going to have a lot of bank-owned property. But when I say REO agent, at least, what I mean are specifically the, in most metropolitan areas, like in Atlanta here, you've got about 15 or 20 agents dominate almost the entire market for REOs. They are the agents that if Bank of America gets a listing on the west side of town, they're going to call one of one or two agents. And once you find these agents, and I'll say that finding them is actually not difficult, then the key is to approach them in such a way that they'll give you a chance. And you don't need to be an experienced investor. You just need to be able to say the right thing to demonstrate that you have an ability to transact, either with your money or with another partner's money, and they'll give you a chance. And once you've bought the first property from these sources, whether they're banks or REO agents, one of the great things is that you build a relationship that you can nurture for years. And that's been one of the secrets that Scott and I have, is that we never put a lot of time into investing, but we have like three or four contacts that we call whenever we want to buy a property, or they call us, and we buy from them over and over again. So that's why we like buying from banks, is because the sellers, be it institutions or these agents that have the bank-owned properties, always have the ability to sell you multiple properties over a number of years. So you just need to get these handful of contacts, and then you can buy from them over and over.
Now, I should mention that you're doing a real estate event coming up. When is it? It's coming up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, it's the weekend of April 28th in Atlanta, and it's a full weekend. We talk about how to find property the way that I have just been talking about, also how to finance these properties, either if you have your own money or you have to go outside to outside sources. Then finally, what to do with the property once you have it. And if it's okay, Elise, I'd like to tell people where they can go to if they want to register for
the
event.
Sure, what's the website for it?
Yes, www.realestateevent.info. Info, www.realestateevent.info. You can register. The event is free. We ask for just a small deposit so we can tell the hotel how many people to expect, and we refund the deposit once you show up. And you know a lot about me, Elise. You know that my style, and I like to teach. I like to try to help some people make some money, and it's a great time, and that's what we're going to do.
You've been teaching all over the country for a long, long time. So,
yes.
And you've also written a book, Buy Low, Sell High, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, we've written a couple of books.
Right.
And by Fortune Magazine, so hopefully I'll have a chance to show you guys why.
All right. So when you're, one of the questions that we get all the time on the show is, I can't get financing. How do I get financing? So you hear this, you know, noise that Fannie and Freddie will allow you to buy up to 10 properties, including your primary residence, but when you get to the banks, they're only going to let you do 4, and sometimes they'll only let you do 2. So how do you get around the idea that the lenders, who are supposed to be the conduits to Fannie and Freddie, aren't going to let you borrow as much money as you maybe want to?
Well, that's a really good question. So I'm going to answer this as simply as I can. It's a question that I'll be spending like about an hour on that weekend. But here's the short and sweet of that. If you are an individual and you have reasonably good credit, then what you can do is you can get an investor loan. You'll need to have a little bit of money for a down payment. You'll need to have a job. And that's the way Scott and I bought most of our properties for our first 12 years. We were employed, and we used the credit we built with our jobs to go and get good financing. And once you reach a certain number, and that number is changing, Elise, and so that's why I don't like to say you can only buy a certain amount, because Fannie and Freddie and Uncle Sam continue to revise these numbers and these limitations. But once you reach a certain amount, investors like me, we get creative. You can do like blanket loans or portfolio loans, commercial loans and residential properties. You go outside and use private money, or use somebody else who is essentially your financing partners. And that's how people who seeking to buy lots of properties, how they go out and buy that 15th, 20th, 30th property. For investors who do not have a lot of cash, what they do is they go out and they, it's a terminology in the investing world we call private money. You go, basically, you seek partners. Partners that come up with the funds for your down payment, your earnest money, and sometimes even to be the signatory on the loan. And what I will say is that while there's always going to be challenges in every market to do that, right now you have a special opportunity because there's so few options out there for people who have money that can really bring a nice rate of return. The stocks are quite risky. You can't you put money in CDs and money markets, you're not going to get a very strong return. So that's one of the things that has made real estate so appealing to people who have funds. They are now, if you approach them the right way, the goal is to get them to give you a chance to find a property for them. And in my opinion, there's been no better time to do that than now.
Now, one of the things that I am hearing from lenders is that they want to see 30% down, 25 to 35% down, sometimes more in some cases for investors. Are you seeing that as well, or has that number shifted downward as well?
That number, again, I buy a little bit differently, Elise, but the number last time I checked was 20%.
Okay, so yep. 20% isn't horrible.
No, it's not. It's not. And you know, you and I have talked about this. People who have funds, there's a real lack of investment opportunities, and that's the angle you want to take. If you don't have, if you're not going to be using your own funds, you need to be able to go out to the community of people that you know and that you don't know and try to get them to help you out for that first property or two. And once you get the first one or two under your belt, then it becomes a much easier to get people to come up with even more money.
Got it. So once you start, you get going. We have with us on the phone Andy Heller, good friend of mine. He's been buying and selling, as you can tell, investment real estate for a very long time. He's the president of RealtyJoin.com. It's a social networking site for everybody in the real estate industry. I've been involved in it. You'll see my shining face, my little smile on there. He is also teaching a free real estate event. There's a small upfront donation, but it gets refunded once you get there. RealEstateEvent.info. RealEstateEvent. Three words altogether, one word, realestateevent.info. Andy, will you stick around? I've got a few more questions for you.
Great.
All right. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned for more information about investing in real estate next on News Talk WSB.
Time at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, online all the time, the website thinkglink.com. I have real estate investor and RealtyJoin.com president Andy Heller on the phone with me this hour. We're talking about investing in real estate because Andy tells me that there has never and never will be a better time than right now to buy and invest in real estate. Andy, when you look out over the last couple of years, what was your favorite deal that you've done and why?
Well, it's tough to pinpoint the exact favorite one, Elise, but when I do lease options, we're actually sort of get involved in trying to help people. I know it sounds a bit corny, but many people are trying to repair their credit, and they achieve the American dream of owning a home. And there was a family that came to us, and this was, goodness, like, I guess, 8 years ago, and they were a wonderful family, and we had bought a bank-owned property, and we marketed for sale or lease option. Nobody came to buy it, and we did a lease option. And at the end of the 3 years, they were not ready to buy. They couldn't get a good loan. And had we kicked them out, Elise, because contractually we could have done this, we would have made a lot more money, and we gave them an extension. And 3 years after that, it took them 3 years, a three-year extension. So after 6 years, they bought the home, and they were so touched. I mean, they knew that we could have made more money by kicking them out, and they knew that we were on our contractual rights to do that. But they wrote just one of the most moving thank you letters to me. And here we are. We're investors. We're here to make money. We are making some very good money. We get a thank you letter from somebody.
That's pretty moving.
Yeah,
that's a pretty special thing to have somebody change somebody's life for the better and make sure that they're in a place, a home, where they can be safe and they can raise their kids and truly have a new start. That's amazing. Well,
yes.
Let's talk a little bit more about real estate when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody. We are talking to Andy Heller, real estate investor. He runs RealtyJoin.com, a great social networking site for the real estate industry. All that and more coming up next on News Talk WSB.
find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time, the website thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you are listening to the show and you're hearing about hearing us talk about investing in real estate and you're thinking to yourself, I don't even have the credit to qualify for a loan, you may want to go to my website and check out eCredible, or you can just go to eCredible.com/Glink, G-L-I-N-K. eCredible helps people who have very little credit or no credit, and what you do is you go through their program, and then they will, what you get out of that is something that you can now work with a real lender. They work with Churchill Mortgage, which is one of Dave Ramsey's absolute favorite lenders. And you can go there with your eCredible credit score, and they will give you a loan. That is how that works. So go to my website, thinkglink.com. Click on the eCredible box that's right there on the right side of the homepage, and you should get a tremendous amount of information about what to do, build your credit, all the rest. 404-872-0750. Andy Heller is still with us. He is a longtime real estate investor. I have known him for a very long time as well. Not as long as he's been investing in real estate, but he is also the president of Realty Join, which is a social networking site for the real estate industry. Great thing to do if you're not already on Realty Join. It's free, and it's a great way for people who work in the real estate industry to get to know each other, find new clients, generate some new business. He is also an active speaker about real estate investing. His next event is coming up. When is it, Andy? It's at the end of April, right?
End of April, yep.
End of April, April 28th, I think you said.
Yes.
Realestateevent.info, realestateevent.info. You can go there and sign up for his program on April 28th. So, Andy, when you look out at the different kinds of deals you're looking at, I know you just bought a commercial property. You buy a lot of residential stuff. How does it change when you're buying commercial property or a strip center, an office building? What are some of the other things you want to be looking for? Because you're not going to do a lease with an option to buy for those. It works a little bit differently. How do you think about the numbers?
Well, you can't do a lease with option to buy on most. I actually did on this commercial property that I purchased a lease. But what you need to look at is cash flow. And the you also need to look at the business that you can run out of there. I mean, is this a business that you feel can make money in this economy? Is this something that is fairly recession-proof? And are you prepared to do it? So commercial investing, I think, takes on an entirely different element of risk and also some very good return. But what I like about residential is that no matter what happens in the economy, people always need a place to live. So you need to be sort of an economist if you start investing in commercial. You need to make sure that the purchase makes sense, that you're prepared to be a landlord. If you're not, you can hire a company that knows that leasing business. And you need to familiarize yourself with the type of business that would need to be run ideally out of the property that you're buying. So you got a lot more involved analysis there, Elise. And then you have to basically look at cash flow, look at vacancy, likely turnover. It's much more complex than investing in residential property.
So why do it? Because I know you just bought a commercial property. What was it about the deal that made it so compelling that you couldn't say no?
Well, interestingly enough, my commercial property was a quasi-residential property, Elise. It was a small personal care center. So it was a home that actually has 10 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms. So I felt pretty comfortable making that leap into commercial because it was still in an area that I was fairly comfortable with. So for me, commercial is something I'm not especially comfortable with. I do have friends, investors, who will tell you the opposite. that is their comfort window. And again, I don't think that one way is better than the other, but it does represent different risks and a lot more factors that an investor would need to consider before they should pull the plug.
So tell me a little bit about when you. How did you find this property? Was it through one of your agent friends who does a lot of your residential stuff? She said, I have a residential property, but it's a little bigger than normal.
No, this one I found a very different way. I read an ad, investor seeking property, investor with cash. And I got, from this ad, I've got, I'd say, for every 20 phone calls, one would be an opportunity. So you have to really try and weed out what sounds good, what doesn't. And I went to see a few, and this one I saw the property. I saw what the guy was asking, and I ran my numbers. I saw what the property needed, and I said, this is a no-brainer. So I was comfortable enough to venture a little bit into commercial. And the fact that it was still a home on a large lot, but a home like the many homes I bought in the past, I felt pretty comfortable with it at least.
Okay, so when you put out the ad, this really intrigues me because you know, you've got to be prepared. You got to put your cell phone number in. You got to be prepared for a ton of calls that just aren't going to make any sense. How do you sort through that? How do you know when a call is good or not? Do you and Scott have kind of a geographical area that you like to buy in, and so anything out of that is automatically discounted? Do you have certain price ranges? Everything else is discounted. How do you think about that?
A lot of things you look for, but geography, absolutely. Certain areas I won't even consider. So that can eliminate a whole chunk of calls right away.
Do you eliminate them because you just don't want to go there? It's too far? It doesn't make sense to you? Why do you eliminate them?
A lot of things. Certain areas that I'm not comfortable investing, I don't invest in areas that don't have good schools, that aren't what I call stable middle-income areas. I don't invest in areas that are more than a 45-minute drive from my primary residence because I want to be able to manage the properties properly.
Mm-hmm.
What I look for is stable middle-income areas. And as hopefully most of your listeners know Atlanta fairly well, I've gone as far north as is Woodstock, as far west is Austell, as far south is Fayetteville, as far east is Covington.
Okay, so, wait, I just have to say, so you're clearly marking this with no traffic. This is, when you say 45 minutes from your house, you're saying definitely a no traffic thing.
I'm absolutely saying no traffic.
Because that could be an hour and 45 minutes just to get up to Woodstock on a bad day.
Yeah, if you leave at the wrong time. So I'm assuming that you leave at the very, very strategic time, everybody. Not during rush hour.
Sounds good. So when you're actually out there and you're getting these calls in, what are some of the things that, you know, you're listening for? I mean, you're listening for location. Are you listening for price?
Absolutely. And you're trying to determine very quickly with calls like this, is the person you're talking to, are they realistic? Are they pie in the sky? Or ask them some basic questions, neighborhood, ask them price, market value, what the property needs. And it's amazing how many people will sort of shoot themselves in the foot within the first few minutes. I mean, everybody wants you to come out and look at their property, but unfortunately, you know, we're not in a business of charity. It's invested, and you're trying to determine, is there a margin there? Does the property appear to have a margin? And if it's in a good area, if it fits what I normally buy and it appears to have a margin, I'm going to get in the car. I made an exception with this property because the margin was so significant that we were talking on the phone. I knew what the guy told me what he wanted. He told me a past appraisal he had. I ran some numbers. I'm like, I've got to see this property. So I actually called somebody who had more familiarity with those types of properties, and I asked him to meet me there. And a few days later, I bought my first commercial property.
So I have to say, this idea of building a team is kind of important, and you've talked about this almost every time I've had you on the show, and you know, you've come to a bunch of my different events, and we've talked about this idea of building a team. But it seems to me that this idea of building a team where you could call somebody who had more experience and say, can you meet me there? You've got your real estate attorney, you've got, you know, lenders that you regularly work with, the real estate agents you regularly work with. It seems like there are a whole lot of people involved that you've now been working with, and you've built this team that are there, you know, even with the tax questions you might have, they're there to make it easier for you.
Elise, I couldn't have said it any better. And as you know, that's the concept behind what we're trying to do at Realty Join, is to create an ability for investors to build that team, but also online. And yes, I mean, I would say, Elise, after 20 years of investing, I probably have 500 names. I don't have a Rolodex anymore, but 500 names in my phone, of which I've got a phone call or an email. I've consulted with them within the last 2 years, of which 50 I talk to almost every year. So the great thing about real estate is that if you surround yourself with these team members, and they almost all of them are, they're willing to help, they want your business, it can really help it. Give you the confidence you need to succeed and enable your ability to be successful. But real estate is that one field that you can't do it on your own, everybody. You've got to have good contacts, good advisors, and if you build that, they're going to help you make more money and also sometimes keep you from making a mistake.
All right, so let's talk about your mistakes. What's a mistake that you made this year? Because I know you don't do it perfectly every time. Nobody could. So did you make a mistake this year?
This year I've actually done pretty good.
Okay, last year.
I bought a property a few years ago in a neighborhood, and I bought it from another investor. And I will never buy another property from another investor.
Why?
Why? Because a lot of investors cut corners. And while the property inspected okay, I just found that I had significantly more rehab and repair work to this home in the years after I purchased this, Elise. And I think it's because that particular investor neglected it. So I made, you're never too old to learn a lesson. And here I am, I'm 49 now. And just a handful of years ago, I made a new rule for myself. Never buy an investment property from another investor if he's owned it for a number of years.
All right, so that's one good thing. What else, what other mistakes have you made? Or what lessons have you learned? We'll put it that way.
Don't take shortcuts, everybody. One time I skipped an inspection on a property, and I'm a very conservative investor. I believe in being extremely careful. This was a unique situation. I skipped the inspection because the property was empty. Essentially, the inside, the builder went bankrupt. The outside was done. The inside was an empty shell. And I thought, there's nothing to inspect. You know, there's no toilets, there's no heat and air yet. Those are things I had to go ahead and put into the property. So I skipped the inspection phase. And I did walk the property with my contractor, Elise, but I skipped the inspection phase. I said, I don't want to spend $500. Why should I do that? And turned out, I mean, I still made money on the property, but I didn't make as much money because one of the things I learned after I bought the property is that the electrician had probably gone back because he didn't get paid by the builder and sabotaged the work. All the wires were cut in the wall. Now, visually, you couldn't figure this out, but under an inspection, when they try to run current, you would have figured this out. And all of my offers are contingent upon inspection, and the inspection requires the bank to activate the utilities. So this is a great example of here's a seasoned investor like me. Taking a shortcut, why spend the money? Don't take shortcuts, everybody. Shortcuts always cost you money.
Wow, that's so painful. what property did you make the biggest return on? And we just have about a minute left, but I know that everybody's going, what is his biggest win?
The biggest win is a property we still own. It's the second bank-owned property we ever bought. And this was 19 years ago, Elise. The family was on a three-year lease. And when they didn't buy, we rolled the property, the lease agreement, into a series of automatic one-year renewals. We put it on a 15-year lease. 15-year note, so today we owe nothing. The same family's been in there for 19 years, Elise.
Wow.
So, I can't give you profit yet, everybody, because it hasn't sold. But if you take the value of the property, cash flow, tax benefits, this middle-income property that would not appraise today for $140,000, we've made over $200,000.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we're still making. We're clearing about $900 a month. This every time I feel sad, I just think about this property, I smile.
Andy Heller, longtime real estate investor, a good friend of mine. He's the president of RealtyJoin.com. You've heard him talk about it. I've talked about it. Go join that. If you're in real estate, go join, go network, hang out, meet people, build your business. On the 28th of April, he's hosting an event, realestateevent.info, www.realestateevent.info. Go there, sign up. He's great. Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Elise, anytime you want me, just call. It's a pleasure.
All right. All right, everybody, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, just a few final thoughts as we round up the evening. You're listening to the Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB.
advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show live on Sundays 11 to 1 here on News Talk WSB. I would give you our number, but as you can probably hear from the music, it is the end of the show. We have run out of time. It was so great talking to Bill and Mary and Chet, all of them, the enrolled agents. We got a lot of great tax advice in the first hour of the show. Hope that was helpful to you. Remember, they're coming back on Easter Sunday. On your way to church, there and back, or as Mary said, get right with God, then get right with the IRS. We'd love to have you join us on Easter Sunday, so that's coming up. Andy Heller, don't forget to go to his website, realestateevent.info, realestateevent, one word, .info, and you can sign up for his event. Go there and find out all about how he does real estate investing. He has been very, very successful with it. You can find me online all the time at thinkglink.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.